WPFW, changing the world one live event at a time.
Hello, WPFW. Festival season is here, which means good music, good food, and good people. The 8th annual Words, Beats, and Life Festival kicks the season off with events from April 1st through 7th in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Featured artists include a special evening with Saul Williams, April 5th at Woolly Mammoth Theater, Sunken Cages, Dragon Child, and Faraway Ghost at Millennium Stage, April 4th, Diggable Planets, Sun Ra Orchestra, and more at the Jazz and Blossoms Park Jam, April 7th. Plus, poetry slams, a hip-hop education conference, and free dance workshops all week. To learn more about all the events, visit wblinc.org/WBLFest.
Well, good morning and welcome to Wake Up and Stay Woke. This morning, it is mind-boggling what's happening in the world, and especially what just happened in Gaza with ammunition supplied by our tax dollars. Not only were more Palestinians killed by missiles and starvation, but Israeli strikes killed 7 World Central Kitchen workers there who were just trying to prevent more starvation after over 30,000 deaths of most of them innocent people. Somehow, this has got to stop. One man cannot continue thumbing his nose at the world without consequences. In another case, we can't bring back those who experienced the Tulsa Race Massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma's Greenwood District, also known as Black Wall Street, then one of the most affluent communities in the United States. But let's pray that their descendants and the 2 survivors still living at 109 years old, that the court will do right by them. And we thank the young lawyer, attorney DeMario Solomon Simmons, and his co-counsel who represented them before the Oklahoma Supreme Court. Can you imagine 2 of these people who experienced that tragedy as little children are still living at 109 years old, still trying to seek some kind of justice for those who've already died? I can just bet safely they've outlived all those responsible for the Tulsa Race Massacre. Well, let's also remember those who live daily under threat by the orange man who is now leading poor people to believe he is somewhat representing them by declaring his relationship to Jesus and his sale of that Bible. Lord, what is next? Why does this man get so many chances to act like a human being but refuses to do so without any consequences? Well, let's go to our guests for today who are with us in remembrance of the one and only Dick Gregory. Our first guest is Mr. Robert Carmack, coming to us from the West Coast, and his sister, who is my agent, Ms. Melanie Green, who is listening to us from Atlanta and who is with us from there. Good morning, Brother Carmack. How are you? And good morning, Melanie.
Hello. Good morning. How are you today?
I am blessed. Is Robert there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, good morning to you, too. I know it's very early out that way, but you've got a show coming up, and I want to know what the name of your show is and tell us a little bit about it and what is Red Clay of Cantaloupe Island, all of that. I know that's a lot, but it's a mouthful, but I'll repeat it if you need any part of it.
I can
Robert, are
I barely
you there?
Hear you.
Yeah.
Hello?
I can't hear you.
Let's see what's going on here. I'm not hearing you.
Can you hear me okay?
Let's see. Maybe they'll fix it.
Hello?
Greetings, family. The WPFW Programmers Association, in harmony with station management, presents WPFW Live, a series of events over the next 6 months in partnership with some of your favorite local venues. The goal is to re-engage the community through through a remembering of the valued relationships forged, all pointing to a reimagination of our future. Our first WPFW live event will be held Wednesday, April 3rd, 5 to 9 p.m. at 18th Street Lounge, 1230 9th Street Northwest. Meet some of your favorite local programmers, enjoy great music, and partake in good spirits. Music by DJ Rahsaan, Music Relief Radio, Kamal Harris, Beats, Bars, and Bangers, and featuring DJ Divine, Soulful House Sessions. Food by Chef Jarobi of Flavorful Influences. Tickets are $20 and available at Eventbrite by searching WPFW Live. For details, call 202-618-2110. WPFW, changing the world one live event at a time.
Okay, we're back, and our first guest this morning is Robert Carmack, and we were just about to hear him talk about what he's got coming up. Hello, Robert, again.
Yes, good morning. I can barely hear you, but yes, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. I just changed phones. It's like one of them ought to be working right this morning. So go right ahead. And Melanie, you know what he is to talk about. So if he's not hearing, go right ahead, Melanie, and tell our listeners what your brother is to talk about.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about Red Clay of Cantaloupe Island. Robert, can you hear? Hello?
So it's not my phone then, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know what's happening.
Hear.
Well, Melanie, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am blessed. Well, perhaps you can go right ahead and tell us something about Robert and what he has coming up.
Well, he has a new event. It's a jazz event that's going to be held in Los Angeles. It's called the Red Clay of Cantaloupe Island. It is a birthday tribute for Freddie Hubbard and jazz legend Freddie Hubbard and jazz legend Herbie Hancock. It mm-hmm. is slated for the 13th of April in Los Angeles.
Hello.
One of the things that's important about
Hubbard
these two legends is they have a lot of things in common. They played together in their earlier days as the jazz messengers. So I'm hoping that Robert can tune in if he can hear us.
Mm-hmm.
It is slight because I hear you slightly. So I know it is.
I can hear Melanie, and I can barely hear Dr. Williams.
I have no idea what's happening.
Well,
I guess it's
Robert,
my neighborhood
just go ahead
phones
and talk,
that aren't coming off right. I've switched from one to the other. I'm not sure what's happening. Go right ahead, then. Is Robert back on?
Yeah, Rob, just go ahead and talk.
I'm sorry?
I said, can you hear me?
I can. It sounds muffled. Like when the PSA was on, I could hear it really clearly. But when we went on air, it's muffled.
Okay, but can you just go ahead and talk and tell us about Red Clay of Cantaloupe
okay.
Island?
Well, first of all, I apologize for the delay. My name is Robert Carmack. I am producing a show out here in Los Angeles by the name of The Red Clay of Cantaloupe Island. And one of the reasons why I call it that, I know it's a mouthful and a long title, but it's really the combination of the songs that were composed by Herbie Hancock and Freddie Hubbard. Red Clay by Freddie Hubbard and Cantaloupe Island by Herbie Hancock. Now, I've decided to produce this play because these two men were, in my opinion, the two most prolific and eclectic performers, composers, and high IQ musicians of their era who had a dynamic impact in the field of jazz as a genre and beyond. Today, you hear many of the same features and patches of their music inside of some of the young artists out there today, and hip-hop artists as well as pop singers and artists that are composing songs themselves. But the real reason that I wanted to utilize these guys is they had so much of an impact on my life, the music as well as the style, the fashionable presentations that they made and the impact it had on me off stage as well as on stage. Being a musician myself at the time, I was listening to a lot of that music as I was growing up. My dad used to bring home all those albums, and I would just sit and listen to Herbie Hancock and try to mimic what I heard on the saxophone. And many times I would just go about and practice what I could hear and then read everything I could on the backs of those albums. So one of the influences that I wanted to talk about today is Freddie Hubbard and the impact that he had through his music, the sheer power, the sheer determination and the attack in a very positive way that he had on the music that he performed. First time being hearing it on Herbie Hancock's Imperial Isles on a tune called Cantaloupe Island in 1964. And he had such a tremendous impact that he didn't sound like Miles Davis. He didn't sound like any of the other trumpet players that were his peers at that time. He just sounded like a new guy who had something to say, and I just was attracted to it like a moth to a light.
Now, what will the audience hear and see on April 13th? I don't know if our listeners got the fact that the program is on April 13th.
Cool. I'm sorry, what was that question again?
I was asking, what will the audience
she said,
see
what
and
would
hear
your listeners,
on April 13th?
Be looking forward to seeing on April 13th. That is the date for the event that you're hosting.
Well, and what is people, the location? What they will see on April 13th is two dynamic individuals' music compositions that I have specially curated for this presentation. Tunes like Cantaloupe Island, Red Clay, Down Under, which Freddie Hubbard performed with the great Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers in the beginning, replacing the great Lee Morgan on trumpet, and then adding additional musicians to that band and adding a whole nother dynamic in the form of jazz in the early 60s. Then we're going to also hear a special poem that I've created called The Red Clay of Cantaloupe Island, and a bonus, my original play called Freddie Freeloader, which is a play set in black Los Angeles during the 1950s, a musical crime drama that's set in black Los Angeles 1950s, exploring the bustling, seedy side of existence in post-World War II L.A. Now, the music, the fashions, and sheer determination by many of these people that were living and just trying to escape and survive from the Jim Crow South at that time. And we follow the saga of a story of a young man whose parents were killed by a drunk deputy sheriff in the early 20s, and then he's rescued by a family member and brought to Chicago. He grows up and becomes a musician, moves to New York, and then decides to move to the west coast of Los Angeles, where after a short period of time in town, he and his friend, who came with him, is accosted, his friend is killed, and he's blamed for the murder of it, and that is set and sets the new story. It's now not anymore 1940s, it's now 1950s, and the music is not bebop, it's now doo-wop.
For those of you who are just listening, we're listening to Mr. Robert Carmack, and he's talking about a program that he has coming up in Los Angeles soon. But I need to ask him before we run out of time, how can our listeners hear this program you have?
Yes. Well, there's two platforms. We are doing it live. However, they can purchase, if they're living in Los Angeles, they can go to eventbrite.com and get more information about it, under that title, Red Clay of Cantaloupe Island. Or for those who live outside of California or Los Angeles, can go to www.viewstub.com, and they can pick it up if they have Wi-Fi. And it's on an on-demand basis, so they don't have to worry about watching it in real time. They can watch it at their own pace.
Melanie?
Yes.
Can you help me with that one?
I was saying that if they would like to see the Red Clay, they can log in to and get any information that they would need under www.pocketjazzpresents.org. Any information, if you need to be able to see this or to hear this, just log in to www.pocketjazzpresents.org. Mm-hmm.
And the other is, Robert, what impact in jazz did these two bring over their respective careers? You talked a bit about them earlier.
What was the jazz?
What impact in jazz did these two bring over their respective careers?
Right. Well, the jazz that we'll be performing will be straight-ahead jazz music infused with the soulful sounds of as the music evolved from the 60s into the 70s up into the 80s and 90s of these two artists. And, of course, Mr. Hubbard is gone, but Herbie Hancock is still thriving, still one of the most powerful leaders in the field of jazz genre. That really goes way beyond just jazz, but still being followed by many today and studied at many institutes. Because at UCLA, he has the Herbie Hancock Institute, and students are just attracted to his style, his panache, and his determination to exceed all other artists that have come before him.
Okay, and Melanie, I know that you do a lot of things. You are an agent. Tell us a little bit about your work.
Oh, well, you know, that would take up the rest of the show.
Oh, that's why I
just
said
talking about the things that I'm working with you on. Yeah, what we're doing with Robert is that we are organizing a co-production deal with him on the play that he is ensuing and bringing it to the UK for a production that we're looking forward to putting into this year, possibly this year. But that's mm-hmm. what we're working along with him on that.
Well, you know, my grandma doesn't know what
but
the
UK a host
is.
Of other things, you know, the things that I'm working with you on some of the productions that you and I have. But other than that, just quite busy.
Mm-hmm. I was saying my grandmother doesn't understand what the UK is.
Oh, we'll call it London, England.
All right.
You're right. Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so sorry, but we've tried both our phones. I don't know whether there is a problem with the company, but we're doing the best that we can here, so just hang in there. Robert, do you have other programs, or is this the only one you have coming up?
Well, at this particular point in time, I'm focused on this particular project for April 13th. I'm also working on getting securing a venue for my play, and that will probably be in the late fall of this year. And I do have an upcoming another show that I can't go into right now until I lock down a certain artist. But it's going to be a little bit different than this particular show, as it'll have an additional, I guess you could say, a presentation on what I like to do is go out and integrate dramatic dialogue with classical jazz music and infuse those two together and present that to varying audiences, and even going out and do pop-up events. Which allows me to expand the legacy to those people who are just coming into jazz and being approached that never really decided that they'd listen to jazz. So maybe they're a little bit too old now to listen to just straight hip-hop, but they're starting to mature, so they're listening to this music, which is an entirely different audience than what they're accustomed to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and would you give out that website that people can get more information about the program you're doing?
Yeah. Bob, give them your website again. I gave it to them earlier.
Yes, you can follow us at www.pocketjazzpresents.org. And, or you can follow us on the web again at that website, or contact me directly at 951-840-7120. We'll be glad to answer any questions regarding our upcoming event or any more additional information they need about this current event that's coming up on April 13th.
April 13th, okay. Melanie, would you stay on, please?
Say it again?
Would you stay on?
Okay.
Would you stay on, please? I need to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Greetings, family. The WPFW Programmers Association, in harmony with station management, presents WPFW Live, a series of events over the next 6 months in partnership with some of your favorite local venues. The goal is to re-engage the community through a remembering of the valued relationships forged, all pointing to a reimagination of our future. Our first WPFW Live event will be held Wednesday, April 3rd, 5 to 9 p.m., at 18th Street Lounge, 1230 9th Street Northwest. Meet some of your favorite local programmers, enjoy great music, and partake in good spirits. Music by DJ Rasan, Music Relief Radio, Kamal Harris, Beats, Bars, and Bangers, and featuring DJ Divine, Soulful House Sessions. Food by Chef Jarobi of Flavorful Influences. Tickets are $20 and available at Eventbrite by searching WPFW Live. For details, call 202-618-2110. WPFW, changing the world one live event at a time.
Thank you, and welcome back to Wake Up and Stay Woke. This morning we have my good friend, Tony Wilson, known as the Young James Brown, who is on with us. Good morning, Tony. Good morning.
Hello.
I can't imagine what.
Do we lose?
The search process for WPFW's next general manager is underway. Successful management searches begin by having conversations with stakeholders to clarify and document expectations for future management. Therefore, WPFW's local station board is inviting all stakeholders to participate in our online survey. Go to WPFWFM.org and press the link to complete the survey. The survey closes April 3rd, 2024. Only one survey per person. Thank you. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Well, Melanie, let's see if we can talk about what Tony was going to talk about, the Young James Brown. That's how we both know him. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you so much better now.
Okay. All right, then. Did Tony come back on? If not, Tony is known as the Young James Brown. I know you have met him and you have heard him.
He's magnificent.
I'm sorry?
I say he's absolutely magnificent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this weekend he's going to be in Boston, Massachusetts, and there's a big program that's honoring James Brown. I know almost everybody knows James Brown. Do you remember any of the great songs that James made?
Oh, wow. Papa Don't Take No Mess. I think that was one. Living in America, which was a title track from a film.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Please, Please Don't Go.
Please everything.
I know everybody always say Papa's got a brand new bag. That was the one that everybody seem to know offhand, you know? Quite a few. You know, he did a lot of soundtracks for films.
I'm surprised you didn't name the one where he talks about this is a man's world. I think a lot of people misunderstood this is a man's world. But I always remember it because you have to listen to the last part of it when he says, but it wouldn't be nothing without whom?
A woman or a girl.
Absolutely. That's the great one. But there is a reason James Brown is being honored, and Tony will be doing a show there. But he's being honored because when Dr. Martin Luther King was killed that very night, James Brown was in Boston, Massachusetts, and he did his show, and what he said and did prevented Boston from suffering the kinds of destruction that happened in many other cities. So Mayor Michelle Wu is there, and she is allowing this program to go on. So I know this is going to be a great time. I was invited to go, but I've got to stay here and work. I guess I got to stay here and find some more telephones because mine have not been acting right. It seems it's good. I can hear you. I don't know what the problem is, but
well, I can hear you a lot better now. Earlier, I could not hear you as well. Not at all.
Okay, now tell us a little bit about what you do. I don't think Tony came back on, but we've said what he was going to say. This is this Saturday in Boston, Massachusetts, will be the program honoring James Brown for his work and what he did to save Boston, Massachusetts. But tell us a little bit about your work, Melanie.
Well, I'm an executive producer and showrunner. Presently, we were doing a 7-film series of the Winans family. It will trace the Winans family by more than five generations, and we're 200 years. And it's a remarkable story. Michael Winans and the rest of his family will talk about in just about what happened during those 200 years. But it's not a documentary; it's actually a film. So we will have it'd be like 7 individual films going in succession. First episode will take place in 1800s, 1805, I believe, to be exact, when they first received the name the Winans. And then after that, it goes all the way into how the family still today, after 200 years, is still very much close to the road that they chose when they first received the name Winans. It is a blessed name, and it has been a blessing to so many family members throughout these 200 years. Their great-grandfather was Isaiah Winans, and he built a church in Michigan, and it's still there today.
So have you met many of the Winans?
I have indeed.
And how did you find out all these things about them? You had to do research outside the family, or you did it actually with the family?
Well, actually, through the years that we've been working on this project, my team and I, we've been redoing all the research for years to trace it all the way back to 200 years and gathering all the information on the first family. They had 12 children. Then the next one from there, he had 13 children, and then 7 children, and then all the children's children. So we just kind of follow wherever the roadmap would lead us. But it leads us back to the Winans family today, of which where the mom and pop Winans had 10 children.
Well, I know that there are a lot of people who write, and you handle a lot of people who are doing writing in terms of their books, their plays, their whatever. How can people reach you if they're interested in the kind of work you do?
Let's see. Well, that's a tricky question. Didn't quite get it. You want to rephrase that a bit?
I was saying I know that you do a lot of work with a lot of artists, and would you tell our listeners how people can reach you if they are interested in hearing more about the work that you do?
Well, as a executive producer showrunner, you kind of have your hands kind of full So if they want to get involved, I think the best way to do is to reach me or my company. We have a our company is actually in London, and we do have offices here in America as well. But we're originally in London. We do have we don't do websites, so I can't say more to a specific website. But
I'll tell you what. If anybody is interested, they all know how to reach me. All of my friends all over the world. So I'll certainly let you know if there's someone who's interested, or I'll answer their questions.
I
want to thank you for being on, and we're going to take a little break right now. And I thank you for being on with your brother Robert. We'll have him back on when our phones are working better. And I wish him well on his event. We'll be talking more about it later. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
WPFW is looking for a new place to hang our hats and microphones. And we're betting that members of WPFW's In the Know listening community, folks like you, may know of spaces where we might make our new home. Have you walked past or know of a cool space that appears to be for lease? Hip us to it. Know of something that's not yet on the market? We're all ears. Your station for jazz and justice requires 2,200 square feet of space in Washington, D.C. or immediate environs. Metro accessible with nearby parking. We value your suggestions and observations as we embark on this vital mission. Email your tips to wpfw.lsb.relocation@gmail.com. And thanks for all you do to nourish and sustain WPFW, building a better world one broadcast at a time.
You'd be so nice to come home to.
This isn't sounding any better.
You'd be so nice.
Okay, I'll stay on the cell then.
The search process for WPFW's next general manager is underway. Successful management searches begin by having conversations with stakeholders to clarify and document expectations for future management. Therefore, WPFW's local station board is inviting all stakeholders to participate in our online survey. Go to WPFWFM.org and press the link to complete the survey. The survey closes April 3rd, 2024. Only one survey per person. Thank you. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
And that we are doing. We thank you very much. I want to say good morning to our next guest, who is a hardworking brother, and you may already know him. He's Lieutenant Colonel Tyrone Boss, who is with us from Baltimore. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Good morning, Ambassador.
Okay, I hear we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're going to get through this.
Can you hear me?
Yes, hello? I hear you very well.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You are working on the case of our brilliant sister, former state's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, and that's what we want to talk about. I know you've been working hard with Marilyn, so for those who don't know Ms. Mosby, tell our listeners why they need to know about her case and why we have to help her to get back to doing the great work she was doing before an unjust system for black men and women interrupted her work.
Okay, so first of all, let me say I'm not a lawyer or attorney or anything. So she has a public defender that's supporting her on her case because she had to spend money on fighting against frivolous charges against the other people. Before I go into that, I'm going to say who she is. Marilyn Mosby was the state's attorney for Baltimore City, Maryland, okay? And what she did was she kind of overhauled the criminal justice system, a corrupt criminal justice system. We had police officers in Baltimore City, and not all police are bad, and Maryland has nothing against police officers. She comes from a family of police officers. She's the daughter of a police. She is the granddaughter of police. She is the great-granddaughter of police. And her grandfather formed the first black police union in Boston. So it's not, she doesn't have anything against the police. It's bad police she has something against. And my son is in law enforcement, so I have nothing against the police. So that's there.
My brother and all of us can name police in our family, basically. So when people say, oh, you all just hate the police, it's not true.
No, we don't hate the police.
Absolutely.
We have good police, and the bad ones have to go, though. The bad ones have to go. The reason being is that they make our neighbors unsafe. And as I said before, we had police in Baltimore engaging in robberies, dope, selling dope, you know, facilitating gang activity. And police aren't supposed to be doing that because you're not going to go and inform on the drug dealer if you if the police is part of the drug gang, are you? Because you're going to face certain death. That's why. And so that's a hamper. We want, if we have a person that's involved in crime and they're a police officer, we definitely don't want them out there. So, and what Marilyn Mosley did is, instead of looking the other way, like previous prosecutors had done, she decided to crack down on it. And what got the ball rolling with the animus, with the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, which is the most powerful union in this country. Because you guys remember, they turned their backs on Bill de Blasio, who's the mayor of New York. And nobody got fired for it. So that shows the power of the Fraternal Order of Police. And when you wrong dirty cops, they don't care if the cop is engaged in illegal activity or not. That's a police officer you're messing with. And so it's almost like a gang in some cases. The FOP, I'm not talking about the police in general. So, and that's what she did. She offended the FOP first by bringing charges against the Freddie Gray officers. It was six of them involved. And the case fell apart because of things like the judge in the Freddie Gray case. His name was Barry Williams, the black judge. He turned the sound down to a Freddie Gray film in court. As unbelievable as that is. So it's all kinds of measures that they were able to successfully get the police off, which, you know, the courts are a part of the system. The police are a part of the system. But the system is supposed to be fair and just. We have to have a justice system, but it has to be fair and just, and that's what we're saying. But she wasn't able to prosecute those officers because of the things I just mentioned, but she successfully prosecuted 33 corrupt police officers in the city of Baltimore.
Wow.
Okay? Now,
and don't forget to tell us who Freddie Gray is and what happened there as to how she got involved in that case.
Good point. Okay, Freddie Gray was a young black man. He was in and out of trouble, just like a lot of our youth are in the inner cities with the war on drugs and all that stuff, which Nixon said he intentionally did the war on drugs to hurt the black community. And it did hurt. It worked. Freddie Gray got caught up in that, and yes, he may have been, I don't know, he may have been selling drugs, but he wasn't selling none the day he was apprehended by the police. He was not selling drugs. He didn't have any drugs in his possession. He didn't have any illegal weapons. He had a knife, but it was a switchblade, like they tried to say. And so he was a victim of an illegal arrest. And any of us, I want you to think about this, and anybody in the audience, any of us is subject to an illegal arrest. It simply means the police got no business detaining you. That's all it means. As a result of his illegal arrest, he was sent on a death ride, I guess. But I believe his injuries were sustained outside the van, in my heart of hearts, because he was screaming outside the van. That's why the judge thought to turn the sound down, in my opinion. Of course, if you watch the tape, the only thing we know about the Freddie Gray incident was what happened outside the van. We don't know what happened in the van. And that's the only reason we had a trial for it. But at any rate, the other thing she did was she freed 13 wrongfully convicted men. These were men that had life sentences, you know, and so they were, you know, going to serve the entire life sentences. People knew they were innocent. They're sitting in jail rot for a total of 300 years, and she freed them. Dr. Faye, you were there. You saw those big...
Yeah, I met two of the brothers who I believe they had a 24 years in prison, and she was able to free them because of their innocence.
Right. And you saw those big muscle-bound men crying on stage and thanking them for saving their life. So this is very serious. There's a lot, and they also said there's a lot of people in jail that didn't commit the crimes that they're in jail for. So they're not the only ones. They're not unique. Those were just the ones you could help. And, law enforcement is not just about enforcing the law. it's not law enforcement. Justice is not just about putting people in jail. It's about freeing people if they've been wrongly convicted. And in my opinion, Marilyn Moseley has been wrongfully convicted.
Now, absolutely, Lieutenant Colonel, what is it that Marilyn did that was different from what anybody else did? And they were not convicted.
Well, therein lies the problem. They should have never brought this case in the first place. The reason being is she was a victim of selective prosecution. And that is a violation of Justice Department policy. It's illegal according to Justice Department guidelines. There were 739 people in the city of Baltimore alone that got their retirement the exact same way that Marilyn Moseley got her retirement. Three of them were in her office, okay? She was the only one prosecuted. That is a gross violation of Justice Department policy, okay? And it's spelled out, it's defined by the Justice Department. It's called selective prosecution. It's when you take something that you, and I'm just going to say in layman's terms, something that you never prosecuted anyone with before, and you do it, you prosecute somebody else and pursue a case against them because of who they are. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that by itself means that this case should have never been brought, you know, to trial. The other thing is, if you're buying a house in Florida, for instance, right? That's beyond the jurisdiction, really, of a judge in Maryland. You know what I'm saying? This judge, and I'm just going to say what it is, and this is not coming from Maryland, this is me. From what I understand, this is the first case this judge ever tried. And you got to look at this. This is a high-profile case. Why is that? You know? So in my opinion, I don't see, this will be hard for her to be lenient because you don't have a track record for being firm. So I think some of the stuff is intentional. It's unfair. It's a gross miscarriage of justice. And the FBI spent millions of dollars going through a personal business, personal finances and a mortgage records when they couldn't find any corruption in her office. And they went as far as to question her children's dance instructors. They went to her business associates' houses at their homes as early as 5 in the morning, questioning them about her personal business. You know, so this is not normal, and it doesn't need to be normal. And we can't allow this to happen, because if you can't hold the police accountable, and that's what they're trying to do, they're trying to send a signal to other prosecutors, which they're trying to black prosecutors out of this country, that you
and the money, Tyrone, the money we're talking about, that was her retirement funds, right?
That was a deferred retirement account. In other words, if let's say you're making $250,000, and you decide to put $30,000 away, and now you're making $220,000, right? That's still your money. It's not like you're taking state money or federal money. That was all her money. All the stuff that's involved in this nonsense is her money. And her lawyer, her first lawyer, said that this was all BS. He said it, but he used the curse word outside the court, and he was threatened by the judge that he could get his law license taken from him. And that kind of spooked him, I guess. And she ended up with public defenders because the judge declared her indigent because she had to hire 24/7 armed security. She received several death threats after she prosecuted those police officers. And she also received endless harassment from the FOP. The FOP was afraid of her. They, in one of their articles, they called Marilyn Moseley a wolf lurking. So you had the respect of the police to know that if they did anything to any of these brothers out here, break their necks or whatever, they're going to have to report to Ms. Moseley about that. And so what they're trying to do is counteract that by making an example out of her to the rest of the prosecutors in the country. Don't you dare think of you and prosecute the police. Well, what's happened to Marilyn Moseley is going to happen to you. So, and she's facing 30 years in jail, by the way, for that nonsense. Lawyer
is... I know she's scheduled to be sentenced with a draconian amount of time on May 23rd. And
we don't know what she's going to get. The judge does not have.
So what can we do as citizens to prevent that from happening? What are you working on now?
The only assured way, this is the only assured way. If you go to www.baltimore4homes.org, Baltimore, the number 4 homes.org. We have attorneys there on a podcast called Native Land. And Andrew Ross was an attorney, and another attorney there explained that, and I agree, the only assured way to stop her from spending a day in jail, which she does not deserve for doing her job, is to get her a pardon before she is sentenced. Because the judge could decide, it's probably going to get overturned on appeal because it's nonsense. But the judge could decide to make her wait for that appeal in jail. That's the danger. Mm-hmm. And they really want to take her a law license because they filed an unprecedented emergency petition to strip her of her law license before she is sentenced. And that's never happened before. Mm-hmm. Usually they wait till you're sentenced and your law license is automatically stripped. And so that they showed their hand when they filed that emergency petition. They wanted a law license. They wanted to defang her or whatever you want. Mm-hmm. They want to take away her power. And so many words.
Now let's go back to where we can get more information because I think our message is not as clear as it should be. But let's go back to that website where people can get the story with Angela Rye and Tiffany Cross and others. I really have been asking people to go to that website and listen for yourself with those lawyers talking about what happened, but not only that, but what you can do as a citizen to help to take away this unfair prosecution of Marilyn Mosby. That's a name everybody should remember, and you should do the research on that website. So let's do it slowly, Tyrone, to be sure everybody can get that website and can go there as soon as they get off this program. It starts out ahead.
It's very easy, very easy. Baltimore, right? The number 4, the numeral 4. Homes, Homes, .org. Okay? www.baltimore, the number 4, homes.org, or Baltimore 4 Homes, plural. Homes.org.
And I tell people
Baltimore, the city of Baltimore. The number four, homes, homes.org. And at that site, it's a one-stop shop. You'll see a GoFundMe because she's broke, as far as financially, because she hasn't spent $500,000 on lawyers.
What we want them to do is to go there to get information what it is and to sign the petition.
Sign the petition. There's an online petition there, too. But we also have physical petitions that we try to get signed because a lot of our elders don't like to do things online. We all know that.
Right.
So
what
we've done is, and I've given you copies of it, Dr. Fay, Dr. Williams, I've given you copies of it. What we've done is we also printed out a physical petition that we sent to seniors. We placed them in businesses and things of that nature. That all goes towards the count. We're going to submit that to Joe Biden. And on that petition, it specifies, if you go to the website, it'll specify the reasons why we want her pardon. It's not just because we like her. Yes, we love her, but it's more than just that. We have facts listed on the egregious outrage that they've done to this young lady. As far as I'm concerned, she's not guilty of anything. And if you listen to that podcast with Andrew Rye, they'll explain to you why why they did this to her in the first place.
I tell people go down to the purple section. I know that computer has that color on there. The purple section is where you can get all the details if you haven't heard them clearly. You need some more information, and everybody knows where to find me. So you can always contact me to get more information and what you can do. And Tyrone, do you have a number where the people who don't use computers can call to get more information?
Well, what I would say to them is, I don't want to give up a personal number, but what I would say is that we're going to be holding rallies and stuff from here out. Just list up, and I'll report to you when we're going to do something. For instance, on the 19th of May, we're going to have a fundraiser, and we'll have more of that on the website. We'll have a fundraiser for Miss Mosby. And it's going to be a cookout in Clarksville. It'll be on the website.
Okay. I'll give more information about that when get the time, because I know there are many people who are having events for her. Sister Nia 2X, for those of you who know her, she's also having an event, I believe, on April 20th. But again, I'll be giving you more information on that.
Yeah, I'll be talking to her about that after I get off the line with you.
I'm sorry?
She asked me to call her after the show, and we'll talk about that. But
okay.
Go to the website. That's where the information is going to be posted, okay, for people that want to meet.
I don't mind. Whatever. Give the website again, because it's important that people see all that detail.
And I'm going to give it out again. Baltimore, the number 4homes.org. Baltimore, the city of Baltimore, Baltimore, the number 4, the numeral 4, not the word, the numeral 4, homes, homes.org.
Okay, and I want to thank you for helping us with that information. You know, we've always been fighting for justice for black men, but lately somebody has decided that black women are powerful in this country and willing to exercise that power, and some people don't like it. We've always had Ida B. Wells and Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Fannie Lou Hamer, Rosa Parks, and so many more.
And Meryl Mosley's in that mold. She's in that mold. Mm-hmm. Okay, of the Rosa Parks, the Harriet Tubman, Ida B. Wells. She's from that mold, and we gotta look out for the sister. She lost everything standing up for us. Now it's our time to hold her up.
We have to look at our sister down there in Fulton County, Georgia, Fannie Willis, Judge Tanya Tutkin, right here in Washington D.C. Dr. Claudine Gay from up there at Harvard University, Judge Tish James. I mean, you hear this.
Well,
according
to Michelle Alexander, who was another prominent sister, the criminal justice system is a major point of social control used by the white power structure.
Yeah. Sometimes we're fighting against each other. So those of us who know better must lift up the women I've named along with Marilyn Mosby. And I'll be reminding you often what you can do. So please listen.
Let me put one more plug in. There are other people in Baltimore that are helping with this. You have Brother Haki. You have Brother Lawrence Smith. You have Sister Sheena Smith. You have Alex McCamey. You have Mr. Bill Gooden. So I'm not the only one doing this. But and of course we had Sister Nia 2X, who came out here
Sister
to rain.
Sister Nia, she is here in the D.C. area.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have she's a D.C. Nan, the president of the D.C. chapter of the National Action Network.
Action Network.
Which is Al
and also also Josephine Mourning, who is head of SCLC. So you'll know some of these people, listeners, and please get in touch with them and find out what you can do. We're about to go off, but Marilyn has two beautiful young girls who need their mother, and those of you who know me, I want you to call me so we can figure out how together we can help to give them the care that they need through this time. I've never had an unlisted number, so I know you know how to reach me, but just in case you need to go to www.thedickgregorysociety.org, you can find out all the ways to reach me there. That's the website, thedickgregorysociety.org. All the ways to reach me are there, and you can call me at any time or email me. We've got to go now, Tyrone, but thank you for what you're doing. We're lifting you up in prayer, and we thank all of our listeners for listening today. Thank you. Love you. God bless you.
Thank you for the platform. God bless.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sleeping in bed, no more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead.
The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. All the teachers trying to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. 'Cause they're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Oh yeah, the world won't get no better. Yeah, if we just let it be. Oh, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, yeah, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, thank the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and catch all the hell. They don't have so very long before the judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Oh yeah, wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we can do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in my mind. Work out, so they do every time. Yeah, yeah. The world won't be no better, yeah, if we just let it be. The world won't be no better. Gotta change it, yeah, just you and me.
That your body gives. Single mother, so what you young? Baby daddy was in, so you gotta play both sides of the fence. Never ashamed of the game, do your thing, boo. When that alarm clock rang, never play snooze. So you gotta pray too. Crazy where we living in. A coma like a karma, acupuncture synthesis. He thinking about the future, but she thinking about the fear.
Greetings, family. The WPFW Programmers Association, in harmony with station management, presents WPFW Live, a series of events over the next 6 months in partnership with some of your favorite local venues. The goal is to re-engage the community through a remembering of the valued relationships forged, all pointing to a reimagination of our future. Our first WPFW Live event will be held Wednesday, April 3rd, 5 to 9 p.m. at 18th Street Lounge, 1230 9th Street Northwest. Meet some of your favorite local programmers, enjoy great music, and partake in good spirits. Music by DJ Rasan, Music Relief Radio, Kamal Harris, Beats, Bars, and Bangers, and featuring DJ Divine, Soulful House Sessions. Food by Chef Jarobi of Flavorful Influences. Tickets are $20 and available at Eventbrite by searching WPFW Live. For details, call 202-618-2110. WPFW, changing the world one live event at a time.
Born of Haitian descent, Jerry Paris, WPFW's general manager, is moving on to retirement. On April 14th, from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m., we will celebrate his departure at the VIP room, 6201 3rd Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., with island flair, steel drums, a DJ, and food from the islands. That's April 14th from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. For more information and tickets, call 202-368-4081 or visit Eventbrite and search for Jerry Paris Retirement. Seating is limited.
Yeah.
Hello, WPFW. Festival season is here, which means good music, good food, and good people. The 8th annual Words, Beats, and Life Festival kicks the season off with events from April 1st through 7th in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Featured artists include A Special Evening with Saul Williams, April 5th at Woolly Mammoth Theater, Sunken Cages, Dragon Child, and Faraway Ghost at Millennium Stage,